Once again, good morning. And now I am preaching from 2 Kings, continuing through. I'm in chapter 3. And the urging for us and for you, for me, has to do with being called by God into two areas. Now, one area now is your call from God, is the area to seek spiritual stability, to seek being careful to turn your back on living ways that bring spiritual confusion. You are called to be careful, understanding that compromise is really a faith replacer. There are people, actually, who are known for this. Compromise. Replacing faith with compromise. Their usual way is to compromise instead of walk in faith. And you know, you can see, they predominantly live manifesting spiritual instability. They're always what I call, and what we're going to understand today, is spiritually being confusing. And you can probably think of some people like that. Some of them might be saved, some may not be, which is why they consistently do as they do. Now, take that thought and use it to understand your call into another area. It has to do with those spiritually confusing people. God wants to use you, wants to use me, to influence those people, even stand in the gap for them. It's ministry. You're called to do this. Your call is to work with them, to get them to the light of the truth by demonstrating it and even showing the light of the truth directly from God's word. Now, before I get into 2 Kings 3 on this, 1 Corinthians 7:14 shows a fluid principle that flows through this sermon on this whole thing that I'm talking about of God using blessing, and he gives us grace, and sometimes he allows his blessings for your faith to spill over to others. And it works like this. Now, this is the influence. So your blessings spill over to those in the family of God, but even to those who are unsaved. And he does it for his reason. So you see it in 1 Corinthians 7:14. Paul says, a Christian who is married to a non-Christian sanctifies the unbelieving spouse in respect to marriage. Doesn't just mean the unbeliever is saved. It means they're set apart. Paul says this is necessary so that the children will be sanctified, set apart. So what we see there is that the Christian's blessing spills over. And so your call has to do with your own spiritual stability. It has to do with showing spiritual clarity instead of spiritual confusion. And then as someone not letting compromise replace faith, your manifestation of the life of Christ then becomes a blessing to both the unsaved and also those Christians who are compromising. God uses you in this. And listen to me. You are called to this. Make no mistake about it. So prepare your heart for this sermon. Don't let compromise replace faith. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you bless us with your word this morning, that I preach accurately to build us up, to be learning about not letting compromise replace faith and manifesting Christ for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the setting for the sermon is that Elijah has just taken the place of Elijah the prophet. And Elijah was operating among Israel and Judah with a double portion anointing. Now, there were two kingdoms of God's people. The south was referred to as the kingdom of Judah, kingdom of Judah south. The north was referred to as the kingdom of Israel. So up north, Israel, down south, Judah. King Ahab of the northern kingdom had died. His son Jehoram is now king over Israel, northern. Jehoshaphat was king of Judah in the south. Jehoram and Israel of the north represent spiritual instability, spiritual confusion, compromise, and misplaced faith, all the things we don't want. And chapter 3 tells us that Jehoram did evil in the sight of the Lord. Jehoram continued the sins of the first king of the northern kingdom, who was Jeroboam. First king, Jeroboam, guided Israel into apostasy. He led them into idolatry. He made gold cows for everyone to worship. So now Jehoram is the one, and he continued this abomination in Israel as glaring evidence of his compromise. And at the time, the Moabite people were living nearby, but Moab was not completely independent. They were indentured to Israel. And they paid a tribute tax to Israel. King Mesha, the Moabite king, was known to pay a very large amount to Jehoram's father, King Ahab. But when King Ahab died, Mesha decided, I'm going to stop doing this. And so in a sense, the Moabites were showing that they were breaking from Israel. And this act amounted to an act of war against Israel. So King Jehoram, he planned to attack King Mesha to bring the Moabites back under submission. But Jehoram wouldn't help. So he asked King Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah in the south, he asked him to come fight with him. Now remember, King Jehoram is a sinful compromiser. He's the picture of someone marked as spiritual confusion, okay? King Jehoshaphat represents you and me in our call. So get this. King Jehoshaphat was known for seeking spiritual stability instead of spiritual confusion, of not letting compromise replace faith. Jehoshaphat was going in a right spiritual direction. He enjoyed God's blessings. This is the way he was. This is the way we're supposed to be. On the other hand, Jehoram stuck with foolish cow worship ways and all these other sinful pursuits, abominations. So Jehoshaphat is your picture of living life in faith with no burden of compromise, dragging you down. Because that's what it does. Drags you down. And this man, Jehoshaphat, loved, he trusted the one true God. He sought to please God. He sought God. And this is what God wants from us. Live life in faith with no burden of compromise dragging you down. Freedom in Christ, by the way, for us, we have freedom. We are in the new covenant. We have Christ in us, the hope of glory. We are in him covenantally. He's in us spiritually. Freedom in Christ means you are no longer sold into slavery to sin as master owner for you to obey. You don't have to be obeying sin. Christ has set you free. So don't invite sin back into your life to mess everything up. 2 Chronicles 17:3 through 6 says of Jehoshaphat, "The Lord was with Jehoshaphat at the beginning of his reign. He did not seek the Baals, but instead sought God and obeyed his commands, unlike the Israelites." Remember, the Israelites in the north. "The Lord made his kingdom," that's the southern, Judah, "secure. All Judah brought tribute to Jehoshaphat, and he became very wealthy, greatly respected. He was committed to following the Lord. He even removed the high places and the Asherah memorials from Judah." So take that pattern of stability and consider your pursuits in life in Christ. You are taking your trust in Jesus, the Savior from your sins, and you're using that trust to pursue him as your guiding light in everything, both spiritually and physically. It's your faith walk. Now, another thing Jehoshaphat was known for was sending teachers throughout the whole kingdom to educate people about God's covenant law. And so Jehoshaphat pictures our ministerial call in the new covenant to be teachers of his word in our generation, showing his word. We need to be focused on getting the word of God out, teaching it, preaching it, studying it so that you're going to be familiar with it. That's what he wants. Spiritual instability, spiritual confusion and compromise thrives when someone is malnourished in respect to God's word. And that spiritual starvation is what Jehoram and the northern kingdom of Israel experienced by their own hands. Their own hands. So I'm pointing out some very important things. Please stick with me. But also, we must not lose sight of the fact that both the southern kingdom of Judah and also the northern kingdom of Israel, now this is important, were always God's covenant people, no matter how sinful and stupid they were. Yes, stupid's a theological term. And we know how it is. We can experience it ourselves, right? So because of this fact, Jehoshaphat said he'd fight with Jehoram. Jehoshaphat said, "I'm going to go ahead and fight with you, Jehoram, against those Moabites." Because they're all in covenant with God. Now, there was also another ally, this other guy. We don't get a lot of information about him, but he's the king of Edom. So you got this Edomite army. They also went out to help fight with Jehoram. Three kings, three armies came together to ally. They all marched out together. But there's a serious problem. Over 7 days, this allied army group was unable to find water. But they needed water. And since King Jehoram had already been compromising with his faith with God, and listen, not finding water was something that revealed what was going on with his faith. Okay? He said, "Everything's hopeless. Everything's hopeless." And then in despair, he said the Lord had called them all out to hand them over to the Moabites. Jehoram is a picture of how fellowship with God gets skewed because of compromise. And look at what it does to you. It shows that someone can be in covenant with God, but something can be wrong. They just don't trust God in their lives. Why? because such people are untrustworthy with him and his word. And so what happens is they start living in doubt and doubt, and they start thinking, you know, God's just against me all the time. It's because they were against God most of the time. And so this kind of thing happens by putting God aside like he's merely a thing, like just another thing among all the distractions accumulated for personal pursuit. Well, this is what Jehoram was doing. And Jehoram also shows that compromise becomes replacement for faith in God. Don't be deceived. This is what happens. And Jehoram knew his life and his leadership was displeasing to the Lord. He knew that about himself. And see, this is the thing about us Christians with the Holy Spirit. All Christians know that going the route of getting satisfaction from sin is displeasing to God. We know that. And you might even say that you never do the idolatry and sensuality sins of Jehoram, but you're very capable of the sin of following the lie that some sort of compromise is worthy for you to pursue. You know, you've got your own idea, but the beauty of your relationship with God is that he empowers you by his Spirit to have the desire to live life in manifesting Christ by faith. And he teaches you the way of the path. And he guides you to recognize that you must not allow things to come in to eclipse the manifestation. And one important thing that distractions can do is steal away your trust in God. Now, with those armies out there walking through the wilderness, they don't have water. Our picture of commendable spiritual stability comes into focus through King Jehoshaphat. So Jehoshaphat did what we all need to be doing. He made it a priority to apply faith in God and following God. He made trusting God a matter of what to do. Not an option, but what to do. See, that's what we're called to do. Rely upon God. There is no verse in the Bible that says God helps those who help themselves. The verses say rely on God. Trust God in all things. And so Jehoshaphat did what we would expect from someone like that. What we should be expecting from ourselves. He wanted to know God's will in the matter. He wanted God's word. So Jehoshaphat asked, is there no prophet of the Lord of Yahweh here that we may inquire of Yahweh by him? Well, that right there reflects your call, my call, to influence others who are compromising. We're influencers. Jehoshaphat saw that Jehoram was not acting like seeking God's word is what to do. And now with you, you want to show compromisers who claim to be Christians, and even those who are not Christians, that the way to proceed is to inquire of God's word concerning what to do. It's the path of personal faith. It's what we're supposed to do. But it's also your influence on other people. Now, there's something coincidental about all this. It points back to a similar incident years before. King Jehoshaphat encountered this exact same thing with King Jehoram's compromising father, King Ahab. And interestingly, King Ahab also asked King Jehoshaphat to go out to war with him. And back then, King Jehoshaphat said the same thing to compromising King Ahab. He said, we need to request of the Lord first. But King Ahab had gotten together 400 false prophets. Jehoshaphat, on the other hand, had a love relationship with God, seeking God. He stayed steady on the faith route. He wasn't compromising, so he told Jehoram's father Ahab, same thing. Is there no longer a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of him? But Ahab had that spiritual problem his son inherited from him. Letting compromise replace faith. And so Ahab said, there's still a man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him because he doesn't prophesy good things about me, but bad things. He's Micaiah. King Jehoshaphat quickly, he rightly rebuked King Ahab for his weird compromise and lack of faith. He's influencing, see? And he has a right to do it. You have a right to do it. So, at Jehoshaphat's urging, they consulted the prophet Micaiah. Now it's the future. It's the future. And everything here with Jehoram and all of them out there is eerily similar with Ahab's son, Jehoram, there. This time, King Jehoshaphat is told the prophet Elisha is nearby. And King Jehoshaphat said in faith, without compromise, the word of Yahweh is with Elisha. Actually, everybody across the land knew that. Even all the surrounding pagan nations knew about Elisha. Now, something consistent that you're going to notice with someone who's not compromising is that they are walking according to God's word, non-compromisers. They're seeking it. They're trusting it. You'll also notice that when someone is compromising, though, they are avoiding God's word. Now, this is consistent. This is consistent. And remember, the influence we are called to have on others. It was because of Jehoshaphat, not Jehoram, that they went to the prophet Elisha to seek God's word. And when they got to Elisha, Elisha had a rude awakening for compromising Jehoram. Here's what he said. He said, "What business do you, Jehoram, have with me? Go to your father Ahab's prophets and your mother Jezebel's prophets." But compromising King Jehoram was fearful of Yahweh. You know, a lot of people that are compromising still fear God. They compromise anyways. And so Jehoram told Elisha, "No, I don't want to go to those prophets because Yahweh has called us three kings together for the purpose of handing us over to the Moabites." He was exchanging faith in the truth because of his compromise. Now, Jehoram's relationship was not an intimate relationship. It was a distant relationship of spiritual confusion. And so this is the point about people beset with compromise. The compromise bleeds into everything. It confuses the one in bondage to it. And yet, when God's people go astray into the wilderness of compromise, they know they're doing wrong. And so if they keep on doing it, it's for one reason. You know what it is? It's because they selfishly want to get something out of it. Something they think is a benefit that compromise is going to give it. But as God's child, you need to know that even though compromise may get some temporary satisfaction to the flesh, compromise always leads to trouble. It always is the pathway that gets you to the bigger problem. And this route of confusion gets you ultimate regret. But it's self-inflicted, you know, because of not avoiding the life-hurting compromise. You know, we're never told that Jehoram was out of covenant with God. He was in the security of the Abrahamic covenant. And this is a fact of all of those sinful, compromising Hebrew kings, Saul, Solomon, Rehoboam, Jeroboam, Ahab, on and on and on. They all had records of sinning against God. They were still God's people according to God's covenant promise. It's just that some were marked by compromise as a constant curse they're bringing on their own selves. And this is very important, bringing upon them their own selves. Now, of course, King Jehoshaphat was not perfect, righteous king down in the south, not perfect. But he was seeking spiritual stability in the long run. That's the same with us. We're not perfect in our own selves. We have perfect Christ in us. And the Lord wants us to be seeking spiritual stability in the long run, even while making mistakes, sinning in the short runs at times, right? So, you know, we all do that. Jehoshaphat too. So, in some way, we look at them, they're both like us, like all of us. We have a little bit of, in fact, just about every single Old Testament historic figure, we have them in us, in their lessons. See, it always applies to us some way, in the spiritual, okay? And so, and when we look at them, they're both covered by the grace of God and in covenant with them on God's Abrahamic covenant part. And you're always covered by the grace of God in the Christ covenant. They had God's word to walk in. You have God's word to walk in. And in your call not to compromise, like them, the consequences in compromise are very real. And since you cannot lose your covenant salvation, what happens is that you can invite all the troubles in your life that God, in his love, warns you and warns you and warns you about, moment to moment. Don't turn your back on the warning. Your spiritual stability is always, though, in Christ. Christ is in you as your hope of glory. And when you manifest that stability, and that's what we're talking about, it's the manifestation of Christ over compromise. It's not self-righteousness, it's his righteousness. And you do this by faith. You're not exchanging faith for compromise. See how it works? And so with Jehoshaphat, he experienced blessings in the Mosaic law guidelines of blessing and cursing, reward and punishment, and he was known for getting the blessings because he trusted the Lord on God's terms. Okay, so they're all there. And the prophet Elijah looked at compromising Jehoram and he said this, "As surely as the Lord of armies lives before whom I stand, if I did not respect Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look at you, Jehoram, nor see you. So Elisha, he asked for a musician in honor of King Jehoshaphat, not King Jehoram. And when the musician began playing, we're told the hand of the Lord came on Elisha. And Elisha said this, "Thus says the Lord, make this valley full of trenches, and you will not see wind or rain, yet the valley will be filled with water so that you will drink. You, your livestock, and your other animals. This is an insignificant thing in the sight of the Lord." In other words, this is not a big deal for God to do. "And he will also give the Moabites into your hand." These are all promises from God's word. He will give the Moabites in your hand. "Then you shall strike every fortified city and every important city and cut down every good tree and stop up all the springs of water in their land and spoil every good plot of land by filling it with stones." And so in the morning, about the time they were giving the offering of the sacrifice, water did come. And the country was filled with water. In the meantime, the Moabites found out that the kings had joined to fight them. So they got ready for war, and they went out to the border. And it was early morning, and the sun was coming up, and it was shining on the water. It was reflecting. And the Moabites from the distance, they saw the water, and it looked like blood to them. It was red, the red reflection. So they thought that all the three kings had gotten mad at each other and gone to war against each other right there on the spot. And they thought there was a slaughter. And they thought the red reflection of the water was a bloodbath result of all of this. And so they ran down to get the spoils for themselves. But when they got into the valley, the Israelites rose up and they struck the Moabites, it says. And the Moabites ran off, and the army alliance advanced on the land, killing Moabites, destroying cities as they went. Each soldier threw a stone on every plot of good land, filling it with stones, basically destroying their means of producing things. They stopped up every spring of water, cut down every good tree. So, you know, you're going to quit paying the tribute to us. We're going to take away the abundance that you have. But this was according to the word of the Lord. And then they got to the city of Kir Hareseth, where the Moabite King Mesha and his men had taken their stand. So they're at this last city. All the men are there. They've taken their stand at the city. And then the alliance of the three kings attacked. And when King Mesha realized the battle was too fierce, he took 700 soldiers to break through to the king of Edom, not Jehoshaphat's group and not Jehoram, Israel, but to Edom. But that attempt failed. So finally, the Moabites retreated into the city walls. So now they're locked inside. And what happened next is very shocking. The king of Moab is in there, Mesha. He goes and he gets his oldest son, the one in line to reign as the next king. Mesha brings him out and he brings him up onto the wall in front of everyone. And Mesha, by the way, is the consummate picture of total lostness, completely misplaced faith, lostness incarnate. And right there in front of all the attackers, he offered up his son, his oldest son, as a burnt offering on the wall to the false god Chemosh. He believed that offering this ultimate sacrifice, his son, the heir to the throne, would be the act to give the Moabites victory. And then it said, great anger came upon Israel, and they departed from him and returned to their own land. It says Israel. Israel had great anger. It doesn't say that about the Edomites, and it doesn't say that about the people from Judah. So Israel returned to their own land. Judah and Edom have evidently also left. But we see something about this. Israel of the northern kingdom feared the sacrifice that they just saw, because they saw how incredible this was. And that's because they feared the false god. The compromising people of Israel under Jehoram, they were still holding on to the sin of polytheism, even after Elisha prophesied to them. You see, the compromising Israelites, remember we're talking about spiritual confusion, talking about compromise, we're talking about misplaced faith, right? These northern kingdom people were the ones who had not been seeking spiritual stability. So what was directing them when Mesha the Moabite king burned up his own son as a sacrifice to win the war? They're being directed by spiritual confusion. And how did that spiritual confusion get there? By compromise. Compromise replaces what? Faith. It's consistent, folks. It's consistent. It happens in our own day. It'll happen with you and me. Happens with people all around us. The Israelites under Jehoram were angry at how far they came in victory just to be surprised by a sacrifice they superstitiously, wrongly in sin, believed would get Chemosh, the god of Moab, to honor King Mesha and his men. If they weren't compromising, they wouldn't have believed it because they feared the god Chemosh. Remember, God is just not another thing. Or, you know, he's not another god among many, as you get the lie in our world so many times. There's actually pastors that preach that. That Yahweh is the same as Allah. No. No, no. Allah is a demon. Demonic god. And so in anger, these guys retreated. But they should have trusted God with more victory in defeating the city and the king. The other kings had only been helping. So since Jehoram was through, so were they. Now, interestingly, this is very important. The archaeological relic called the Moabite Stone, you ever heard of a Moabite Stone? It's a really pretty, giant, black stone, very well preserved. It's got this really nice shape. It's got all of this Moabite lettering on there. It contains the Moabite King Mesha's own record of that exact same battle. Isn't that interesting? And it's very, very similar, detail for detail. But on it, pagan Mesha claimed to have won that day with Chemosh's help. See? Why did he think he had won? Because they all left. And in a sense, he did win with compromising northern Israel. Israel retreated, but it was not really a win. Mesha actually did lose overall. He did not lose his life that day, right? He didn't lose his capital city. But what Elisha said would happen did happen. Remember, thus says the Lord. The Lord will also give the Moabites into your hand. The fields will be destroyed. The springs destroyed. The good trees in many cities were destroyed. Moabites were destroyed. It's just that Israel should not have respected the sacrifice of Mesha. That's why they retreated. So the difference between the other two righteous kings in contrast with Jehoram and Israel is that they left knowing that the main task of helping Israel had been accomplished. They understood they were blessed by the Lord giving the Moabites into their hands. They knew their main task was the real victory, to punish Moab for its arrogant rejection of Israel. Killing King Mesha, that was never necessary for them. But all who did not compromise but lived in steadfast faith left knowing the prophetic goal was reached, fully realizing that Chemosh was nothing, impotent. That belief in that false god had actually failed the Moabites. I mean, the guy kills his oldest son. And sadly, King Jehoram and Israel never saw it the way they should have because they feared what they thought was going to happen next. They thought they were going to be destroyed because of this sacrifice. But ultimately, what we see is that Israel under Jehoram was living in the curse of compromise which replaced faith. They lived in spiritual instability, so they lived in spiritual confusion. This is what we're not wanting. And the only reason those compromises were granted any victory was because they allied with Jehoshaphat. Remember, your blessing overflows to others. Remember that. See, they allied with Jehoshaphat, who humbled himself under God. He kept asking for God's word. He gave God glory for victories in battle, as we read in 2 Chronicles 20. He gave God glory for his victories in battle. 2 Chronicles 20. Jehoshaphat was spiritually stable because he sought it. He did not let compromise replace faith in God for life and godliness for victory. He also lived life as an influencer. And this is so important for us, standing in a gap for his fellow covenant, though compromising people of God. And I'm sure you know somebody that's doing that. So our urging by the Spirit is this: seek spiritual stability. Be careful to turn your back on living the ways of spiritual confusion, because it leaves you in confusion. Don't let compromise be a faith replacer in your life. Seek to be used by God to influence others with his way. Use your blessings from God to do it. See? Stand in the gap. Seek to manifest the life of Christ you have, the life that he has given you in spiritual generation. Amen?